So it is family fifth Sunday. All you guys are in the house. If you're a member of Church Kids, let me hear a whoop from you. Ooh, that's weak. I see a lot of kids in here, and you didn't say anything. If you're a church kid, let me hear something out of you this morning. Whoop! I hear you. If you're CY, if you're church youth, and you're normally a middle schooler who's upstairs, let me hear something out of you. I want to hear you here. Jazz, I see you on the front row, girl. I didn't hear anything. Now, I'm excited about Family Sunday. We are finishing up a series here this month long called Home Improvement, right? So Pastor's been leading that. He did some things about fathers on Father's Day. And then last week we had our family meeting and set some house rules. Well, who knows what comes after house rules? We got some chores, right? Raise your hand if you're a kid in here and you got chores. Any of you kids have chores? There's a whole lot of hands over there. Now, if you're an adult and you had chores as kids, let me see those hands. I'm raising both mine. No. I usually don't have that right there. It's usually in the back. I need to move it back. Chores are just a part of life, right? It's part of living in the house. And it's just something that we do growing up. I want to take too long here, but if you had a crazy chore, or if you are a kid who has a insane chore right now, I want to hear like the craziest chore that you would have. Anybody have to like go out in the morning and milk a cow, or anybody have to do anything crazy, any crazy chores in the house? I see a couple hands. Easton, what did you have to do? What's your crazy chore? Oh, clean baseboards. Bless your heart. That mean, mean mama. Now, if you're an adult, think back as being a kid and having chores. Let me tell you guys about us. So growing up, chore day in my house was Saturdays, like clockwork. Every Saturday, we'd wake up, Saturday morning cartoons, then I'd go get me a bowl of Fruit Loops, EFAT, and then Mom would be like, walk over and turn the TV off, because that's how you do things back in the day. Turn the TV off. It's time, babies, to clean the house. So Mom and Dad would usually do the big stuff. They'd be doing the kitchen and the vacuuming, but my sister and I, we would usually be responsible for our rooms. And let me tell you, my sister's room, she was a horrible room keeper, so it always took her much longer to clean her room than mine. But Saturdays were our cleaning days, our chore days. But every now and then, Mom would pop up unannounced and say, today is a spring cleaning day. It didn't even have to be spring to be a spring cleaning day. That day she meant business, right? I vividly remember my mama on a spring cleaning day going around our house and taking the blinds down. And we would take them out on the back. We had like these concrete steps that went up to more concrete surrounding a pool that we had. And Mom would stretch her blinds out on those steps, and she'd get the water hose and some Dawn dish detergent and a broom, and she'd go to town cleaning blinds. It wasn't enough for us to just, you know, twist the knob and just wipe them down like this. No, we had to take them down, wet them, get them soapy, and then let them dry out and put them back up. She meant business that day. On a spring cleaning day, we did a lot of stuff. Did anybody have one of those old Kirby carpet shampooers? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, that's the day that got brought out. So we had the Kirby vacuum cleaner or vacuum shampooer going on that day. That was usually my dad's job. He was pretty good at leaving the lines. But we did it all. We did baseboards, and we would take everything out of the kitchen cabinets and put them all back up, just a little bit nicer and neater. I remember organizing, taking the food out of the pantry, the cans of vegetables, y'all, taking them out and rearranging them so all the peas were together, all the carrots were together. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody have to grow up doing things like that? It was all out. We did baseboards and just, it was crazy. You know what it was? It was all hands on deck. If you were in our family, it was all hands on deck. It didn't matter how little you were, you had a job. And that's kind of by design, too. I think my mom designed that way. You know, being young and being a five-year-old or something like that, your task is going to be a little bit different than if you're a 15-year-old. It increases with age. And I'd say by the time my sister and I had reached high school age, we could cook you a meal, a nice meal too, not just waffles. We could cook you something real nice in high school. We could clean the entire house. I remember being in high school still, because I still lived at home, and I was responsible for, I could cut just perfect lines in the hedges. Had the hedges all looking nice. You know, we could cut grass really well. I was in charge on Saturday mornings if we had family coming over to swim. It was me out there. We didn't have those little robotic computer or those little robots that go around the pool and clean it now. No, we had the vacuum, and Saturday morning I was the pool boy, and I had that pool looking pristine. Those were chores for us. Chores teach us responsibility. They teach us ownership and discipline. They give us structure, help us to keep our lives organized. Chores make us a invested, contributing member of the family. I think there's been a couple times when I've told my kids, are you going to contribute anything today? Or are you just going to be a taker? But chores, house chores, make you a contributing member of the team. And now that we have a family, it's kind of funny because growing up, I, of course you don't remember this side, but now that I'm a parent, I'm like, was it really as hard for my parents to get us to do things as it is for, you know, us to train our kids on how to do things now? Just Friday afternoon, driving back in from work, I pull up and my garage is spotless. And when I left that morning, it wasn't that way, because I had gotten some weightlifting equipment, and it's been sitting in the garage for about 3 months now, just waiting for me to put it together. Well, I don't even know where it is. It's still in boxes, but it's not in the garage anymore. But all the toys were clean. Cohen had spent a good bit of the day on Friday. Melissa had said, all right, your chore today is to do this. And then I go in, and Ava's just looking like she's just exhausted. And I say, and I give her a kiss. I said, ooh, your hair smells good, girl. She said, I just washed it because I got outside and got filthy. So she was actually in the backyard cleaning up the backyard and throwing things in a dumpster that we had rented. And chores are good for kids. So I think we've got a picture I want to show you guys. I don't know if you can see it. You probably see it better over here. But that's my crew. Several years ago, that's Cohen up in the top using our rainbow vacuum cleaner. That's Ava over there. Looks like she's doing some cleaning in the bathroom. You got Cruz down here in the bottom left. He's dusting. And I don't know what Troop's doing. Maybe he's picking up. He was doing something. He's carrying something there. But we believe in the kitchen's household on teaching some responsibility. There's one kid that I have, and I'm going to let them go nameless. But it's funny that their interpretation of cleaning their room, it means to take everything that's out of place, that I see that's out of place, taking it and just cramming it somewhere where you can't see it. Not going to tell you who it is. But you'll go in their room and you'll open the door halfway. I'm like, okay, okay. And then you go to keep opening the door and it won't push all the way against the door. And you look and, boy, why you got all these Legos back here? Oh, that just eliminated one. I got three boys and one girl. And then you go to their closet and it's just, it's quivering, right? The door is quivering because there's a whole lot of stuff behind it. And if you open it, you're likely going to die from being buried in an avalanche of toys and Legos and Marvel stuff. So it's funny that that's their interpretation of doing chores. Does anybody else have a kid that does that? Were you that kid growing up that cleaned like that? Are you that adult that cleans like that now? And then I recall another time when I'd given the instruction to, all right, today you are on mirror duty. Your job is to take this Windex and this microfiber towel, because back in the day when we were coming up, we did use paper towels. Now you use these microfiber towels, and it's nicer and less work, apparently. So you take these two things, and every mirror in the house or every glass surface, you go take care of it. Send them on their way. Well, then a while later, you see the Windex and the rag laying back down in the kitchen. So, all right, you're done. Let me go inspect. And I walk into the bathroom, and there in our bathroom with Melissa's really big mirrors, just streaks all over it. So I go and say, what's this? You left this like this? Oh, you told me to clean the mirror. What they had done is they had gotten the rag to do furniture polishing mixed up with the rag to do the windows or the mirrors. So you got to be intentional and specific. And it's funny that sometimes that their interpretation of your instruction doesn't come out quite the same way as, like, I intended it to be this way and you interpreted it this way. It's completely different. It's funny to see. Does anybody have any friends growing up that just didn't do chores? Like, it's a bunch of messy Jessies that, you know, you go to their house and they don't know how to load a dishwasher or fold a towel or don't know how to do a bed or anything like that. How do those people, what do they do when they grow up? What's their life look like? I want to say, dude, did you just sit on your couch your whole life? Did you just sit on the couch? You didn't have any home training? Our childhood, the truth is, our childhood and our teen years are training grounds for us to learn how to manage a house, how to be involved, active in the house. So just like our homes, childhood and teenage years are critical training years for their exploring and developing their faith too. Just like home chores, we as parents need to make sure we're training our kids in the church house too. That's why I'm glad we're all in here today. We need that same all hands on deck mentality or attitude in the church house too. Because how many knows there's church chores too? There's house chores and there's church chores too. And by church chores, I don't necessarily mean vacuuming. I just mean things related to the church ministry opportunities in the church. You guys ever heard of there's a Christian statistic company called Barna? Have you guys ever heard of that? So Barna does all kind of church statistics. They talk about church like activity, how much of the population goes to church, if it's declining, how many people go to this type of church. There's all kind of statistics that they offer. Well, a couple of years ago, they came out with some statistics that say between 61 and 88% of teens that have been raised in church, they walk away from being regular church attenders. 61 to 88%. And about 40 to 50% of students who attend youth group, we have a youth group here, but half of them that attend youth group, they struggle with their faith and what they believe in high school. Isn't that crazy? Those numbers are just, when I went to look for them and when they came back, I'm like, gosh, those are so high. Simply put, we as parents, we're not doing our spiritual home training. Our kids are leaving our house without any kind of spiritual fundamentals to start out on their own. Just like we teach, baby, this is how you sweep a kitchen. This is how you do a dish. This is how you cook an egg. All those things that we teach our kids over the course of 18 years, it's in an effort to, one day they're going to move out and they're going to have to do these things on their own. So just like that, in the spirit realm, we've got about 18 years to teach them church chores, things to do in the house here. You know, Pastor said house is kind of like it's a two-part meaning. It's your personal house you sleep in, and it's the house here you worship in. I got to be honest with you guys. Just coming to church and sitting is the equivalent of sitting out on a chore day. If your kids just come in and sit, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I'm going to take you guys to one of the most common verses of the Bible. Proverbs 22, verse 6. If you're having a baby, talking about a kid, you reference this verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You heard that verse before? Everybody's heard that verse, right? You see it put on like murals and stuff at nurseries and things like that. But it is one of the most commonly heard quoted verses of the Bible. Yet I think because it is common, it's almost simplistic. We miss out on like some revelation there that's there. So let's break it down. Train up a child. Train up a child. Training someone or something takes time, right? If you're new on your job or if you're newly promoted, you've got a training period that you go through to get up to speed, to get acclimated to what it is you're asked to do. Training takes a while. Training a dog. Anybody have a puppy that you have to train? That doesn't happen overnight. That takes time and effort, and you have to make a commitment. You got to have a strategy to get together to train. It's more than just telling a kid what to do. We got to make sure as a parent that our kids, when we're telling them, do you understand what I'm talking about? You got to understand why you're doing what you're doing in the first place for it to be done correctly. So train up a child in the way he should go. Where's he going? Where's she going? What's the way? Do our kids know the purpose of why we come to church? We just take for granted that they'll see everything going on around us and they'll catch on. Do we explain to them? Do we have time in our home where we pray together, where we listen to worship music? I know in our house, it's nothing for our kids to walk through the kitchen and to just see me in the corner just worshiping or cooking dinner and have some gospel music on. Or they need to be exposed to those type of things. Do our kids know that they've got a call in their life? Each and every kid in here. If you're a kid, raise your hand. Raise your hand big so I can see you. Chris is a big kid. You guys have calls on your life. You have a calling on your life. The Lord has something specific He wants you to do. It may be being on stage and preaching a message one day. It may not be, but even if it is or not, you still have a specific call on your life and a destiny that you'll spend your entire life chasing. And that's exciting. Are we filling our kids with God's word? So do they know the way that we're going? Do they know the way? And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Guys, we've got these 18 years to build a foundation. It's got to be a strong foundation if it's going to last long term. And when we fill them and put kids in church and expose them to church, that lasts. and won't depart from it when you do it the right way. Just like we train our kids in our homes we live in, we've got to train them in this spiritual home. Excuse me. Sorry, that's loud. So there's three things I want to talk to you guys about. We'll go quick. We got to include our kids on the team early. We got to get our kids on the team early. Even small kids, you guys saw that picture of Troop. He had to be three at that point, four, three, something like that. He may not can vacuum the floor, or he may not can cut grass, but he can pick up toys, and he can be engaged and active participant. He can feel a part of the team, right? There's always a small task, and even watching mom and dad, watching what they do, it has a big impact on them. Just a couple Saturdays ago, our youth group had an opportunity, and it was, you know, kind of quick, so we just had a handful of folks be able to go and serve a community event. But Taylor Lloyd, Taylor, raise your hand. Oh, Taylor's, actually, she's probably up in kids' church. Oh, I'm right here. She's in the back. Taylor Lloyd led our CY group at this event. So Melissa and I were on the road, and she was just keeping us in touch on, you know, what's going on. And I said, well, send us some pictures when you get a chance. I just want to see what's all going on. Well, she sent the pictures to us, and I was so pleasantly surprised to see right there in the middle of this whole event, there's Easton, Taylor and Randy's five-year-old kid, who was there in the mix of it all. I don't know how much he was able to help, but he was there. I know, even for me, I like things done the way I want them done. And it's so much easier sometimes if we've got something going on to have someone watch our kids for us and us just go knock it out and take care of it. This sounds terrible. You guys don't think horrible of me. But even the progression from kid to kid, starting with Cohen, even like kindergarten projects. You know, this is like hand painting stuff. Paint a picture of George Washington. Or just something like that. Of course it's not going to look like George Washington. Five-year-old's doing it. But I'm sitting there doing a project with him. And I'm like, oh, you need to do this right here. Hang on, let me see your pencil. Let me do this right here. Wait. That's the wrong color. Actually, hang on. Let me just do it for you. So it's progressed, and we would turn in these projects and as kindergarten, first and second grade, and it looked like an adult. It looked like something from Pinterest. Because I took over and I did it. But now I've learned through the kids, okay, Troop, this is your project. You call me if you need me. I'm here watching you. And it looks like a five-year-old did it, which is the way it should look. We've got to include them and let them do things. So even if we're in the house at church and it's easier or more convenient for us to have them somewhere else, let's let them do it. It might be messy. But it's okay. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 say, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We've got to expose our kids to the work of the ministry. There's been times in our kids we've taken them to feed homeless. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Guys, we're going to go feed the homeless tonight. It's funny that one of the times we did that, it's back when Silly Bands was a thing. You guys remember Silly Bands? Well, Cohen wanted to take something because he knew there'd be kids there. He wanted to take something and to be able to do something. So he went and grabbed his whole stash of Silly Bands, threw them on his arm. He had them from like here to here. The Silly Bands. And he walked around. He wasn't able to be on the serving line, serving food to homeless, but he walked around to every kid he could find. Here's your Silly Band. And I'm sure that was just as impacting for him passing out Silly Bands as it was for me doing what I was doing. We got to get them involved. We lead the youth group, and we always bring our little guys, and I'm sure they drive our students crazy. But if we're doing something, they need to be there. All hands on deck, right? Growing up, I grew up in church. My mom, she'd volunteer and clean the church. I'd be sitting there. She'd be cleaning. And she'd say, Brian, go clean your classroom. Or go straighten up the tables in your classroom. Or if there was a deacon's meeting that my dad had, he'd have me there, right there in the back of the church. It's important for us to be involved, but it's also important for us to just let our kids be exposed of the happenings in church. We can't let our kids simply sit in chairs in the sanctuary and expect that they're getting what they need. We need them to be active participants in this house. Somebody say, all hands on deck. The second thing, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. So I told you guys about my chores growing up, right? During the summer, my mom and dad both worked. And I remember I had to be late elementary school. My sister probably late middle school. But we stayed home by ourselves. And we were responsible for chores of the house. You know, it wasn't crazy messed up. But if mom and dad came home from work, they didn't want a messed up house. So we'd have small things we'd have to do daily or weekly. And my sister, I love her to death. Anybody got an older sister in the house? Anybody got older sisters? Thank the Lord for older sisters. They really do a work on their little brothers. So my older sister was in charge of me, right? So she would take all the rooms or tasks, write them on pieces of paper and fold them up and put them in a cup, and we'd draw our responsibilities. So you'd change it up every day, right? Well, every time I draw the bathroom. Oh, look, I got bathroom again today. The next day. Look at this. How did I get bathroom again today? It was years later after I'd gotten older and it didn't matter anymore. I'm like, you? And she just would smile. Like she rigged the cup. So she would get the thing she'd want to do. And I would be stuck doing the things she didn't want to do, and nobody likes to clean the bathroom, right? But to this day, let me tell you guys, to this day, I am an expert bathroom cleaner. You want a clean bathroom? I'm your man. I can clean a toilet. I'm not scared of it. It don't freak me out. We own a business on the square, you guys know, and so we've got some public bathrooms. We try not to say that they're public because some of folks just are crazy. But if something bad happens in the bathroom, who do they call? Brian, we need you at the store. You got to come clean the bathroom. I am that way today because practice makes perfect, right? I wasn't always an expert bathroom cleaner. It's just I've worked and worked and worked and perfected it. We aren't tricking people around here, but we are offering you guys opportunities to practice ministry for students. There are so many opportunities to contribute to the house here. This message is perfect for this stage today because Rebecca's girls and Mighty up here on stage, they doing house chores, y'all. They did their house chores this morning in the church. They did it. There's so many opportunities for folks to get involved around here. PK has a dream team where it's high school students, and they help do ministry upstairs and really kind of all over the building. And then I got a middle school ministry where we do extra care parking. And if you got a kid, a student, there's work to be done in this place. And if they spend their middle school and high school years serving in the house, when they get to be college age, that's just life as they know it. It's their norm. It's what they do. It's how they act. It's part of who they are. They know how to clean the kitchen. They know how to take the trash out. Spiritually speaking, they know how to do things that are in the house here instead of all that time just sitting and leaving, sitting and leaving, sitting and leaving. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But if he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this one will be blessed in what he does." We got to be doers. There's a difference. We got to be active. If you're in the family, you're on the team, you're doing chores. There's things to be done in the house. Philippians 4, verse 9 says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you." I love where we're going as a church. We're developing ministries and just, I'm so excited about this house. And if this were a ship, I'm excited about the destination, because there's life in this place, there's excitement, and there's opportunities for you and your kids to serve together. Serve Day is going to be an excellent opportunity as a family to do something that edifies the body and glorifies Jesus. I told you guys just a little while ago, I led worship up here with my daughter. I can't even explain to you what that feeling was like. It's incredible. I want to implore you today, if you have kids and teens and you're just coming and not getting involved, you got to take the next step. It's critical. If you want to grow them up equipped and involved and not a part of that percentage that I shared earlier, you got to get them involved. We got to teach them the house chores. And third, be their example. We got to be their example. Having kids is like having a mirror in front of you. You guys that just dedicated, you're going to learn this. You as with the two-year-old, you probably already know this. But I got four mirrors reflecting back at me constantly. There's been times when I've gone into a room where they're doing something and I say, "Hey, stop screaming. Why are you yelling at me on the other side of the house? I can't hear you over there. Why are you doing that?" Because I do it. I'll be on one side of the house, "Go ahead." I'm teaching them. This is a mirror. What they're doing is reflecting back what I'm doing. They absorb every single thing we do. "Kid, why are you taking that milk carton out and drinking out of the carton? Why are you doing that?" "Because you did it last night, Dad." We're teaching them, right? They're seeing us. Kids watch us. So my question is, what are we showing them as far as the church is concerned? What impression of the church are we leaving with our kids? Are we building in our kids? How can we tell our kids to make our bed or make their bed if you don't make your bed? Right? You can't get onto somebody for doing something that you don't do. Do our kids see us committed to the house? Do they see us committed to the chores of the house? Chores are learned when there's repetition. If you're going to get Jesus in our kids, he's got to be in us. And if we want our church important to our kids, church has got to be important to us. Our kids are sponges. They want to know why we do the things we do, right? I remember being a kid, Mom, for whatever reason, maybe I was scared that night, but I was sleeping beside her. And my dad worked swing shifts, so he was at work. And, "Mom, can I sleep with you tonight?" Very young. I must have been 5, 6 years old. And I remember her saying, "Son, say your prayers before you go to bed." And I did. "Now lay me down to sleep." And then I got to thinking, even in my mind then, because Mom, I'd say, "Mom, shh, hang on, I'm praying." A few minutes later, "Mom, hang on, I'm praying." "What are you praying about for this long?" And I remember saying, Mom, could you re-pray, but pray so I can hear you to hear what you're saying? Because I was inquisitive. I wanted to know what she was doing. And then I guarantee you, from that point, my prayer at night became personal. It wasn't a repetition nursery rhyme. It was, this is how you do it. Kids are inquisitive. We have to train our kids to love and respect the Lord and the church. Those are my 3 points. But in closing, our job as parents is to get our kids fully prepared for adulthood. If I raise my children and they can't cook an egg, if they can't boil water, I've not equipped and prepared them, right? But if I bring them to church all their life and all they do is sit or partake in a ministry and don't do something, that's all they'll ever know it that it is, and they will likely leave. Up to 80% leave. It's not important to them. It never made an impact on them. I have to think, you know, I have been pretty serious about Jesus all my life. And I have to think, like, why is that true? What's different? What happened to me that doesn't happen to anybody else? I know what it is. I know what it is. My parents had me engaged in church from an early age. I am a first-generation preacher, pastor, or however you want to say that. My parents weren't, but they were active in church. I'll tell you guys a story. I knew as a very young kid the power of prayer. We were at a funeral. It was my grandmother's brother had passed away suddenly, and we were at the funeral there. I mean, I'm just holding mama's hand. And my grandmother, I remember it. I mean, this is 30 years ago. I remember it. My grandmother walks up to the casket. And she's, of course, distraught, and she's upset. And she passes out. Just flops on the floor. And that's hard for me to see. That's my granny. Are you okay? So they pick her up, and they take her over to a chair, and they wake her up. And she wakes up, and she's got a horrible, horrible headache. And she's like, oh, my head just hurts. And my mom just says, Brian, come on. We're going to pray for granny. So, okay. Brian, I want you to pray for granny that God's going to heal her right now. Okay. Have faith. Slap oil on her head. He prayed. 5-year-old kid, I'm laying hands on people that need to be healed. I'm being raised up in that. Jesus, touch granny. Heal granny's headache. Take your hand down. Granny's complete composure changes. Granny, are you okay? My headache's gone. So as a child, I was exposed to these things. We went to a small Southern, I don't even want to call it Southern Baptist. It was Country Baptist. There's a difference between like the organization Southern, but this was just plain, this was country people. 30-member, 50-member church. People getting healed and me sitting there watching people. They're dancing in the Spirit and I'm hearing you speak other tongues and just all this exposure in my life and over the years of growing up and coming here and singing in the choir with my mom and my sister and the Spirit breaking out in practice. When you're exposed like that, it's just a matter of time before you get it. Over here in the tab, I got to tell you guys, it was a Sunday. We were in the choir and I'm there and I get this feeling. I'm like, what's happening to me? And just it's like if you've got a pitcher of water, just instead of a slow trickle, you just dump the whole pitcher out. I just leave the choir, I'm dancing in the Spirit, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? So by the time I was raised as an 18-year-old kid, I'd been filled with the Spirit, I'd spoken tongues, I had seen people be prayed for and healed. I had been involved in the home chores at the church. I was equipped. I knew how to do it. That's why it's this way with me now. So if I go to college and go to a professor who's an atheist and tries to convince me there's no God, I don't care what you say. I know that I know that I know that I know that this is real. It's not a story. It's not a fantasy storybook. It's not a nursery rhyme. Jesus is real. His Spirit is real. His Spirit lives inside of us. He will prompt you when you're doing something, when you need direction. He speaks to you. There's been times in my life, I'm not kidding, guys, when I have, before Melissa and I were even married, I was praying and just trying to figure out what does a 21, 22-year-old person do. I knew that I loved Melissa and we weren't together at that point, but I was like, God, what? I need you to speak to me, God. Speak to me, Lord. Give me direction. What am I supposed to do? Immediately after finishing that prayer, a song comes on, and the title of the song is Melissa. Y'all, God speaks to me like that. I don't know if he speaks to you like that, but he does. Maybe he just knows I need, like, signs like this. He has to be blatant with me. Maybe that's why he speaks to me like that. But growing, all of those things happened to me because I was brought up doing home chores in the church. Sang on praise teams, was active in youth group, led devotions. If there was a summer camp, I was at that summer camp. There was a ski trip, I went on a ski trip. If there was a serve opportunity, I was at the serve opportunity. I was in the church. I wasn't just here an hour once a week to sit and watch and leave. We've got to be active participants. We and our kids have to. It's critical. It's important. It's so wonderful that this message is today when we had baby dedication, and our baptism today is going to be a kid in our kids' church that just, God's been working in her life. She saw her older sister get baptized a little while ago, and it's her turn. Guys, all these things that I'm telling you is happening in this place. We have the opportunity, and our students are doing things. You guys saw, I had 5 kids up here on stage leading us in worship today. My own personal kids, 3 of the 4 have been baptized. Cruz got baptized just a month or so ago. God's working in our kids' lives, and it's a good, healthy, wonderful thing. God's bringing new families to our church. Just in the past month or so, folks are coming. It's so good around here. But I want to implore you, get a little bit more involved if you're not. If your student doesn't want to come to church, they don't want to come to youth group, I get that. I got to be honest with you guys. Before we came to this church, we were at a mega church. Love that mega church to death. They have satellite campuses all over. Love that church still. One of the greatest influences in my life is to hear that pastor. I listen to him weekly. Nothing wrong with his church. Nothing. Actually, he's doing major, major, major things for the kingdom of God. But we would drive as a family an hour to church. Get out of our cars. Say hey to the ushers and the greeters. Go find our seat. Rush kids off to kids ministry. And then in an hour, back in our car, on the way home. Unengaged, wonderful message, wonderful worship, but out the door, in and out, in and out. And our kids started saying, oh, we got to go to church today. We got to do that today. And Melissa and I would talk about it. Why aren't our kids engaged? Why don't they want to go to church? Because they're not engaged. It's so different now. We've been here over a year. Our kids love church. They're active. They're involved. They know friends in church. They do things. Ava sings with a praise team sometimes. Cohen does things. They're both involved. Cruz and Troop, they're here all the time. They love it. They're invested. They're an invested member. PK, if you want to get ready, We're going to do a baptism real quick, and then I'm going to close us out. I know it. I told you we had a lot on the plate today. I'm sorry about that, but sometimes that happens. If there's anyone else too, as we prepare for this baptism, if the Lord's working in your life and you feel like, you know, I want to get baptized, we got clothes for you today. We got some shorts and a shirt, and we'll get you baptized. If that's something you want to do today, Miss Dale is over here to my right, your left. She'll take care of you. We'll get you baptized today, if that's your desire. But we're going to do our baptism. And afterwards, I want us to pray together as a family. Is that okay? I want us to link up with our families. In closing, I just want to say this one last thing. Joshua 24, verse 15. It's a long verse, but the last part of it, this is all I want to say to you guys. But as for me and my house, I said, as for me and my house, we will serve who? The Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You guys see that word right there, that S word? Serve. Serve, I've been out of school a long time, but serve is a verb, right? There's action behind it. It doesn't say me and my house, we're going to come and sit. No, we're going to serve. That's how I prepare my house. That's how I prepare my kids for what's next for them. We do it through serving the Lord. So today, when we pray in a few minutes, I want us to declare that. I want us to link up as our own families, our family units. I want us to pray as for me and my house. We're going to serve you, God. We're going to make an impact in our lives for you. There's people around us that need you, Jesus. We need you, but there's people that need you too. I'm looking out and I see kids. I want these kids filled with the Spirit. I want them Holy Ghost filled. I know that might freak some of you guys out. It's not scary. It's not freaky. It's none of those things that people have made it to be. It's the next natural progression in your spiritual walk. It's the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our kids' lives, as they move off and do things and get exposed to things. It's the Holy Spirit that would prompt them and say, ooh, Bubba, walk out that door and walk back this way. Change. Don't go this way. Our kids need the Holy Spirit. They need what the house offers. They need to learn the chores of the house. Are you guys ready today? Today we have Caitlin Danielle Driggers. There's little Caitlin. Look at her all pinked out. I love how we do, lots of churches do baptisms a whole lot of different ways, but I love how we do it because when you get baptized, it's your family up there with you. It's your family up there. How old is Caitlin today? Caitlin's 7 years old, guys. PK is going to take an opportunity and baptize today. Yes, if you're Caitlin's family and you guys want to come up, absolutely, come up, please. Grandma, let's go. You got to be up there for that. This is a big thing. Maybe we got some cousins coming. Maybe an aunt and uncle. Yeah, if you're a church kid and you guys want to go watch, run up on stage. It's perfectly fine. If you guys want to run up and see. Cruise, troop, you guys want to go see? Run up. Come on. This is what we're talking about, right? Letting them see. Wonderful, wonderful stuff today. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Go, Easton. Oh! He's tough like his mama.